expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 39, the stanzas 4 and 6. Psalm 39, the stanzas 4 and 6. In God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, the second chapter, but first the holy but first we have to confess the Apostles' Creed. And I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading in the book of Jonah, chapter 2. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all my billows and thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. And the waters compassed me about even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. And yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay their debt I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So far. Let us pray. Lord, that we may have prayer experience like Jonah had in the belly of the fish in the depth of the sea, because our praying is mostly to stay out of thy hands, to make our own choices and to live according to the will of our flesh. O Lord, teach us to pray, because we cannot pray, and we have no right understanding of our misery. We have to change of owner, and therefore, O Lord, make thy Son, Christ Jesus, necessary in our life. And give us thy Holy Spirit, so that we leave this world to go out of ourselves, out of sin, and let us die to the old man of works. Lead us into the truth, into thy word, into the knowledge of Christ. O Lord, that we may understand the spiritual lessons of Jonah's story, because it is written for thy honor and for our salvation. The story of Jonah witnesses of Christ him crucified. O Lord, we thank thee for gathering us in this afternoon, and give us an ear to hear what I have to say to the congregation. And Lord, increase thy kingdom among us, and that we may decrease. Like Jonah, like John the Baptist have said, he must increase, but I must decrease. O Lord, that is only possible when we are true believers in Christ. But let us consider what I have to say through the preaching this afternoon, and that we are not only hearers of the word, but also doers in Christ by true faith only. Lord, we pray thee for the sick and afflicted in our midst, for those who try to win the battle against flesh and sin, but without the Lord Jesus we cannot conquer the flesh, and we cannot give up the strife against thee. O Lord, remember the youth because they live in a world full of temptations and public sin, and our hearts are open for sin because we have opened our heart for the devil in paradise. O Lord, that our eyes may be opened for the reality of our miserable state outside of Christ, and if we are still in the carnal nature of the old man. And Lord, that we may become a lost sinner before Thee, to give up our enmity and our weapons against Thee. And if we have found grace in Thy eyes, O Lord, reveal Thyself again, because after grace received we cannot find Thee by ourselves. O Lord, glorify Thy grace in our weakness by the power of Thy resurrected Son, and that we may bear our cross gladly. We pray Thee for the widows and the orphans in so many countries, keep them and save them, and give them what they need, both for temporal and eternal life. And be with Thy people, the Jews. We pray for their conversion, as promised in Thy holy word. O fulfill Thy own word, O Lord, in the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, a couple weeks ago we have preached about Jonah's flight from the presence of the Lord. But now, with the help of the Lord, we want to think about Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. Because there is written, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Verse 1 in the second chapter we have read. The second chapter of the book of Jonah deals mainly with prayer. What is praying? Firstly, it is commanded and it concerns everybody, for a prayerless life is a godless life. And secondly, prayer is the appointed means to pour out your heart before God. Praying is begging. And in the life of grace, prayer is the breath of the soul. And thirdly, true prayer is no work of merit, but the gift of grace. And we do not want to separate the facts mentioned, but to distinguish them. Praying is an impossible duty, and that is why the disciples said in Luke 11, "Lord, teach us to pray." They could not pray. And I meet many people who say, "You should pray hard for it." And this sounds very good, of course. But this is often said far too lightly, as if a man can pray. True prayer is mingled with faith, and true praying requires an answer. If your prayer is true, then you expect an answer, right? And if you ask for conversion and meanwhile live merrily on, our praying is no more than cursing. And the true praying person does not only pray out of duty, but he cannot help praying because his need is so great. Praying is waiting, not passively, but actively. Praying is expecting. And if our prayer is no more than vain repetition or purely dirty, you will understand that this has nothing to do with true praying. And there are people who always know what to pray, but the disciples did not know how to pray anymore. And are there still hearers who do not know how and what to pray anymore? I do not mean to glorify ignorance, but have there been times we got stuck with all our praying? And if you call your praying praying, May I then ask you if you have ever received an answer on your prayer? If not, beloved friends, you have never yet truly prayed. Because it says, we wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his disciple. Peace to his people. He will speak and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. And the man, especially a churchgoer by nature, just prays to stay out of God's hands. And by nature we pray only for ourselves. Then we have a whole list of desires, but no answer is forthcoming. And what is the reason for this? Well, James 4 verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask at amiss, and that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And do you know that the men actually do not want to have anything to do with praying? I do not say this, but the word of God teaches it. For we could also say that praying is seeking after God. Now, well, there you are. For there is nobody who seeks after God, says God's word in Psalm 14 and Romans 3. Only the Holy Ghost can teach us to pray, and no one else can. And do you know, beloved, where God teaches his people to pray? In the depth of affliction. And the Lord exercises his people in praying by testing their faith. And in the early life of faith, much value is attached to a sensitive prayer. But faith, in its full development, is more concerned with the prayer of faith, be it only a sigh. And at first you consider it your prayer only a true prayer when it was attended with some feeling. But when this feeling was gone, you thought that God could not hear your prayer. But when the Lord leads you in a way of affliction, he makes you experience that the worthiness of or feeling of your prayer doesn't matter. But that you can genuinely pray if you lack these things completely. And then a sensitive prayer is not important, but only the prayer of faith. I want to distinguish, but not to separate this, for faith and feeling are always together. Feeling is a fruit of faith, and not the other way around. And then the Lord does not make you dependent on your feelings, but on the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And then he makes you sit in an immovable kingdom of the endured, immutable word of the triune God. And that often goes through a deep valley of afflictions, and God does not afflict his people to leave them there. No. He exercises their faith so that they only trust in him whatever impossible circumstances they are in. And if the Lord promises you something in an answer to your prayer, you usually receive the fulfillment of that promise through a way in which the circumstances are utterly unlike the outcome of that promise. Remember that. The Lord always works in a way which fills us with wonder. And he makes his people die to all feelings as a ground of salvation. And then the important lies in the prayer of faith for the fulfillment of the promise. I think Jonah knew something of this too. By the way, do we consider the story of Jonah in the belly of the fish a legend? Do we really believe that Jonah was swallowed by that fish? Do we? Now you must not immediately say yes, for then it is to be feared you only live by mere letter knowledge or speculation. And do you know when you begin to believe that Jonah was in the fish? When you have been in such a fish yourself. And then it becomes true what the psalmist says, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. You can read it in Psalm 77. And if you have understood it correctly, we do not mean Jonah's literal experience, but rather the spiritual. For if we know this experimentally, it is a fruit of the death of Christ. And in Matthew 12, verse 40, the Lord Jesus says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And there is people on earth who will also understand this way, because they also know about 3 days and 3 nights in the depth of their misery. And look at Paul, Apostle Paul, who as a blind man was led into the street called straight, and who did not fear, and who did not eat for 3 days and 3 nights, lying at God's feet as a blind man without any rights. And this is a continuous process in the life of grace. For in John 12, verse 26, Christ says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And Christ did not go this way in imitation of Jonah, but as a substitute for Jonah and for all his people. Christ was mediator. And otherwise, Jonah would certainly have drowned in the eddies of the waves. And this is also true of Paul and of all the church. Jonah had to go this way as a guilty man, but Christ went this way as surety for his church that is guilty of that. And Christ said, as it were, to his father, Father, I have paid the debt Jonah has made with thee, and I take the guile of all that disobedience upon myself, for he is a chosen vessel. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And somebody says, that was only true of Paul. No. That was also true of Jonah and of all the missionaries called and sent by God. And they go and preach the name of Christ on the ground of his payment and as the result of his ministry. And Christ made that payment for all his sheep, whether you believe it or not. Christ died for the ungodly in due time. And God's people will surely be saved because of God's everlasting decree. And dear child of God, you may be entangled in your unbelief and desperation, but God's work is sure and certain. And Jonah was a man who firmly believed God, and that is why he fled, as we already have seen in chapter 1. And do you know what we need in our days? This: preachers who flee from the presence of the Lord. Maybe you say, I think this is a mysterious way of talking, preacher. Mysterious way. It looks like it, but I only want to say that current preachers seem to be more willing than the prophet Jonah was. It's not true. But when the preaching of the gospel does not result in the people's conversion, then something is fundamentally wrong. Jonah did believe God would convert the Ninevites, and that is why he fled. And do you know why we are living in such an anxious times? Listen, the established church does no longer expect God to do great things. And many people no longer believe that God still converts people. And they think it is normal that that man remains unconverted under the preaching of the gospel. But Jonah believed God still converted people. But what does the established church have with provokes people to jealousy? Nothing at all. Because we do not believe the Lord still converts people. And I do not wish to generalize, but because there is also a people who do believe the Lord does do it. They do not believe it with their mouths, but by faith, because the word of God teaches so. And in my former congregation, God saved 4 souls and brought them to spiritual liberty. And then, I recount this in the so-called heavy reformed churches, people look at me as if they want to say, surely this does not happen nowadays, does it? Or they say, has Christ been revealed to them, or have their sins been forgiven? A religion like this tires me out so much that I sometimes feel inclined to turn to the Gentiles. But Christ first had to be rejected by the elders and preachers, and that is still the same today. And this applies to all the people of God. But don't worry about this, people of God. It's all free. I would like to return to the above mentioned error that a revealed mediator would not yet be an applied mediator. If this is being taught, it is an experience which has nothing to do with true experience about which the apostle speaks in Galatians 1 verses 15 and 16. I will read it for you. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me. Now, was that revealed mediator not yet an applied mediator? This experience of faith means forgiveness of sin and being delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And this is a revealed Christ in the application, what Paul says. And I do know what people mean. It is the so-called experimental language. And I love experimental language as long as it begins in Christ and ends in Christ. For he is the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. But I also know why certain circles uphold this religion of seeing is not yet having. To stay out of the hands of God. Yeah. Yeah. I have some experience, and my misery is so great, but I don't know Christ. It's false religion. To stay out of the hands of God. And they have invented such an experience so that one can be a child of God outside of Christ. And this you find both in liberal and orthodox circles. And therefore the church does not radiate power anymore. Christ is no longer glorified. But even now the Lord still has 7,000 represented in the individual as in Elijah's days, who know him in truth and who declare his praise. And do you know what is also to so shameful for the church too, that so many ministers are called by consistories without God knowing anything about it, because it is not done through faith. And there are ministers who sometimes have 5 calls at a time or more, and they do nothing but decline. And according to me, this is the spiritual poverty of our time. Most calls remind me of a common lottery. And once there was an old elder in a certain vacant congregation who, because of the urgent need for a minister, called his fellow office bearers together and said, "Brothers, let us all go to the vacant parsonage." And having arrived there, the old brother spoke again and said, "And now we will all kneel down on the bare floor of the parsonage to call upon God to receive the pastor and teacher out of his hands." And the brothers looked at each other, for they had not expected this, but they did feel the necessity of this request. And one by one they knelt down on the floor of the vacant room in the parsonage. And the old elder prayed and cried unto God, and when he had spoken the amen of the prayer, he said, "Brothers, God shall certainly hear us, for before long we shall receive a pastor and teacher out of his hands again." And it did happen, friends. This really was a prayer of faith, but you hardly hear about this nowadays. In many cases, the word of calling has become no more than a dead formality. But with Jonah, it was different. For Jonah also received a call, and we would say, it said in the newspaper of Joppa, "Jonah in Canaan received a call to Nineveh." But when Jonah received the letter of calling from God, so to speak, he thought, "Now that is not in my line." And just imagine that the Lord will bestow grace on those condemned Gentiles who forget God. "No, I begrudge them this." And that is just about what Jonah would have thought. And the next day in Joppa's newspaper already reported, "Have declined the invitation to Nineveh, Jonah in Canaan." But we read that Jonah did not stay in Canaan. He left. But he did not go to Nineveh. He wanted to flee to Tarsus. And we know that what follows. And the prophet had embarked on a ship in the harbor of Joppa to flee to Tarsus, but God sent out a great wind into the sea. And Jonah was found guilty of this, and the sailors cast him overboard. And Jonah disappeared in the raging waves, and Jonah is gone. And suddenly there was a fish. You may smile at this, but for Jonah it was reality. Do you think Jonah had expected the fish to swim alongside the ship? If Jonah had known beforehand that such a huge fish was waiting for him, I dare say he would have stayed on board for a while. But when he was thrown overboard, he thought, "Now, this is the end, and justly so." Now Jonah If this would have been the end of you, God would have lost his honor. For the Lord had a task for Jonah, didn't he? Jonah has a call. And we have read that in the first chapter, and God's decree will always be fulfilled. And this, in this case, God's command was also God's decree. This can be distinct because there is a will of command and the will of decree with God. And I can I cannot go into this now, but we hope to do this in the sermon of the third chapter, which shows that the will of God's command and the will of God's decree are not equivalent. And however, the command to Jonah to preach judgment in Nineveh was God's decree. And even though the way must lead through the depths of the Mediterranean, and God always fulfills his own word. And Jonah, you may flee to the end of the world, but the Lord knows how to bring you to Nineveh. And you may even fly to a country of your choice, child of God, but when God wants you to go to another country, he knows how to get you there, and even if it brings you through hell. And that may cause much anguish, as Jonah experienced. And that is why the way of obedience is always the best and the safest way. But what the devil had thought for evil for Jonah, God had thought for good. Yeah. And do you know what God always does when his people err? In this he glorifies his name. Be it right through sin. Yeah. When the Lord has settled accounts with his people, and this always happens on this side of the grave, God puts the enemy to shame for the sake of the honor of his name. And you can see this with Samson and David, and also here with Jonah. For Jonah was not idle in the fish, no, he prayed. Behold, he prayed. And this was said of Paul when he was lying prostrate before the throne of God's grace in the street called Straight for 3 days and three nights. And beloved, have we ever spent our nights like this? It says, with sleepless eyes and speechless grief, I searched the past to find relief. Or are we sleeping with Jonah at the bottom of the ship of our life? And then it is time for us to be thrown overboard. For true prayer is always born in the depth of affliction. We cannot learn to pray, no. Certainly the Lord can teach us. But we cannot learn it by experience, I mean. True prayer is always born. I say once more, not experience, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray, whatever the circumstances are. For it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul says. And there are many people who pray out of obedience. Well, there is nothing wrong with that, but if it stops there, it is not enough for eternity. The Lord teaches his people to pray out of the impossibility of circumstances. True praying is not practiced until we have exhausted all our possibilities. When we do not know a way out, and everything seems not just difficult but impossible. And there are people who pray for deliverance, but they already have the outcome in their pockets. Yeah. Always they have an escape. Yeah. And then it is quite easy to pray. Yeah. Then anyone can pray, can they? But true prayer is true faith. And although the true praying person usually cannot take this to be faith, because these prayers are said in impossible circumstances and generally lack beautiful wording. It is often no more than a groan to God, often only a cry from the heart. And then you see children drift into the world, mother, and from behind your kids' encounter, you sigh, "O Lord, O Lord, O Lord." And most of the time you do not get any further. Necessity teaches you to pray. And when the Lord hides his sweet countenance for a long time so that you pine away because you cannot live on without him, and your groaning to God becomes shorter and shorter. That is the experience of the people of God. Eventually you sit and stare in the front of you and you become so insensitive and miserable that you wonder if there has ever been such a miserable creature on earth as you. And there are always people who say, "Just tell the Lord everything." But there is a people on earth, beloved, who have nothing to tell anymore because their misery has become too great. And do you know what they are waiting for? For their well-deserved punishment. And somebody says, "Well, are these children of God?" Yes, yes, they are. For they often sail in Roman Catholic waters. So true prayer is born in need. Behold, he prayed. And God told Ananias, Paul was praying. Ananias did not say this. No, the Lord said it. And you sometimes hear people say, that man has great gifts of prayer. But this does not mean much to me as long as it is not God-given prayer. Behold, he prayed. And this could also be said of Jonah when he was in the belly of the fish. Because Jonah cried out. And there you have it again. This man had no time to consider quietly what he should pray. No. It says, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice." True crying to God never goes unanswered. Will you keep this in mind, beloved? God always hears those who pray sincerely. And I'm not saying that the Lord answers immediately. No. The Lord usually tests whether it is the Lord they really want. And neither does it mean that prayer is always heard, but true prayer will surely be answered. And when God tests the faith of Abraham, the father of the faithful, by sacrificing his son Isaac to him, you should not think that God will not test you as to the sincerity of your crying to him. And he who prays in truth always falls with his need on the side of God. And this is always the mark of true prayer. For it says, For thou hast cast me into the deep of the midst of the seas. And Jonah did not pray, "Lord, now that the sailors have thrown me overboard, will thou have mercy upon me?" No. Jonah says, "God has thrown me overboard." And And beloved, this is a real discovery. A man by nature does not say this like that, just like that, no. If you end up in the hospital because of an accident, do you immediately say, God has done this and I agree with it? Do you? No, you first of all say, the other motorist was the blame because I had the right of way. Be honest. Be honest. And admit it. And if I would have said the same, it is grace when a man does not and confesses his guilt like Jonah. It's a wonder. But as long as we can blame somebody else, still we have some air to breathe. But Jonah had no one else to blame but himself. He said, Thou hast cast me. And justly so. And the sailors, Lord, are not to blame. I am the guilty one. You understand? And when the Lord wants to bestow grace on a person, he makes you realize that your sins made you lose everything. And then it just reveals the beast in you. Like Asaph. For a man is no more than a beast. A great and a dead beast. Yeah. The English revival preacher George Whitefield once said, when God enters your life, he finds you as a half a beast and half a devil. Now, Whitefield only spoke of a half a beast, but Asaph did not only become a whole beast, but also a great beast. Yeah, you may say, but listen, I'm not as bad as that. No, I believe you are not, but I am even worse. And no man by nature believed this. Asaph did not believe this until he went in God's sanctuary. Do you hear it? And then God becomes his covenant God because of the covenant mediator who had been wounded in the house of his friend in his place. That happens in the house of his friends. He was crucified. And then Asaph see the Lord Jesus in his place, in God's sanctuary. And then he cried out, I'm a great beast before thee. And Jonah was a man with grace. It is true, also when he fled away from the presence of the Lord, he remained a child of God. And therefore he cried to God, mentioning his covenant name, the Lord, with capital letters. That is Yahweh, I am that I am. His covenant name. And here a child of God was praying in the greatest trial of faith and satanic assaults. And when Jonah went overboard, the fish swallowed him, and then he was in its belly among the stinking mass of rotting food. And Jonah began to cry unto the Lord, because, to speak with all reverence, the Lord cried unto his child. And beloved, the Lord cannot do without his church. Remember this. He loves his bride with an everlasting love. But here on earth, his church can sometimes do without the Lord for a long time. And the Lord complains about his people. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. But the Lord knows how to get his people praying and crying. Oh yeah. He leads them in ways in which they they cannot cry unto God, but cry unto God. Yeah. The Lord gladly hears his people crying to him. Not because he has pleasure in affliction them, no. But to grant further benefits to his church. And this usually happens in a way in which the people of God cry out with Jonah, all thy waves and billows roaring, or my troubled soul are pouring. But first let me sing. Let us sing Psalm 104, the second verse. Psalm 104, the second verse. The earth which thou hast founded, none can shake. And what follows? Psalm 104, verse 2. Beloved, I will tell you something more. Jonah could still breathe in his distress, for in his need he still cried out unto God. And however great your need may be, when you can still cry unto God in all your soul, in all your soul's distress, you are extremely blessed. Yeah. You say, suppose I cannot cry anymore. Is this also possible? Yes, it is. But this is even more distressing, for then you are not in need anymore, and that distress even more. And these are underground courses. But you really don't desire this, because not every child of God experiences being forsaken by God. One man needs more uncovering than the other. It is God's sovereignty, sovereign God. But all God's children know something of what Jonah experienced. And when this takes place miles below the sea level, it's quite deep, isn't it? But for Jonah, the depth was not being miles below the sea level, but being cast out of God's sight. And for this, you need not literally go into the sea. It can also happen when you are in church. When the Lord has brought you into these ways of discovery, you sometimes are the only one in the church. He who understands this knows. And then Jonah said, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Verse 4. In all his heartfelt grief, he exercised the wonderful jet of faith. In Dutch we said, het nochtans des geloofs. He would never have prayed this on the ship, would he? That is why it had to go this way. And our way must go away, so that the way, is Christ, can be revealed in our lives, namely Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. And in order to learn this, your whole way of conversion does not count. For Christ only eats and drinks with whores and publicans, also after grace received. And that is a quiet lesson, friends. And then you go overboard with everything on which you secretly rested. And in certain circles, you only get your religion endorsed, which you can relate a long story about your conversion, and not one station may be missed. And the Jewiness of your conversion is tested by how long the train of your conversion stopped at each station. Yeah, that is the slow train of the Pharisee. And nothing but a system religion. For if you have tasted something of the liberty which is in Christ, you go through the story of your conversion with the speed of a fast train. Yeah. I do not wish to be popular, but then you do nothing have enough time to declare the praise of Christ. And are you really converted? Then you have lost your conversion. Yeah. Then is Christ your conversion. You understand this? And when you have finished your story, you will say, Lord, I still have to begin. And this is the language of all the true children of God, also in glory. God, I have to begin. Lord, I have to begin. And for it is through thee alone. And the other way, I heard about a boy who had experienced the salvation of his soul in a short time before. And immediately two buses full of people visited him to learn all about it. How idolatrous. And he saw the buses stop in front of his house while he was working in his garden. And having understood why they had come, he put his shovel on the ground and said, "Friends, I can write the reason of your visit on the edge of my nail. Christ took my sins and I received his righteousness. That's all." And he simply went on digging. And nothing was left for the people but to go home. Yeah. Now that boy gave glory to God. And I like such conversion stories, for only Christ and his work are glorified. Now you may say, now I agree with you. Wait a moment. This must be experienced. Yeah. Dying to the old man goes through death, hell and the grave. It goes through experience. Experience is a means to make you realize the truth, and to make you share in the liberty that is in Christ. And this is something you will never attain for bands and prisons will one day make out who are the children of God. Remember that. Without prison there is never any question of liberty. Oh, that the Lord once more should restore true communion among the true people of God, for there are hardly two can walk together. But that people love justice, because they want to see Christ glorified. And when this is not revealed in the preaching of the gospel, God's people is dying. And this is also the case in our informal gatherings. Yeah. If you want to meet together to talk about the work of God, it must really be about God's justice in Christ, for that is to His glory. And then there should be no... experiment stories, but you should testify from the fullness of the heart, like the Samaritan woman. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And there are far too many scribes nowadays. In former times, God's people only talked about the glory of Christ. This is hardly found in our days. For if you do, you are superficial. Yeah. But I have nothing more than Christ. And if you think that is too light, you just fill your pockets with a lot of stones. That seems orthodox, but is godless. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish as an unregenerated sinner, in his own opinion. And he had nobody to talk to. And there he was in the midst of the rotting scrap of food and with seaweed twisted around his head. Yeah, he's lost all his religion. And when you have found yourself in the stench of your own sin, you lose all your self-righteousness. And then you loathe yourself and you say, Lord, it is a hopeless matter. And then you will not have any friend left. Yeah, as long as you have something to share, it is not that bad, and you usually have a house full of people. But when you get troubles, you also lose your friends. In order to have only God as your portion, you must lose all your friends. And then the only thing left is give me Jesus, else I die. For there is no life outside of Jesus, but only the eternal destruction of the soul. And these are the people who truly pray. Or rather, this is true praying. And when we come to know the person of Christ, we also receive steadfastness in afflictions. And just look at Jonah. Despite his hopeless situation, God made him trust only in Him. And there is a people on earth who experience as follows. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. When our souls waited for the Lord, He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. God's people may well forget God, but God cannot forget His people. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, says the Lord. And God could never forget Jonah, although he did forget God when he had fallen asleep in the bottom of the ship, when he fled from the presence of the Lord. And when Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, he thought, now I shall not think of God anymore. But when he went overboard, he thought, now God will not think of me anymore. Now I am undone forever. But Christ went down in the waves of the wrath of God, never to be remembered by God again. For he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that Jonah would never more be forsaken by God. And Christ has said to Jonah, Jonah, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. This is God's everlasting faithfulness for people who know experimentally that they are covenant breakers. Do you have that experience? And then the Lord said, as it were, to his strange servant Jonah, you live at my expense. You have paid, I have paid your trip, your flight, and you need not sail back, Jonah. I shall bring you back myself. For I am God, and there is none else. But I will make you sink so deep into the sea, Jonah, that you will cry out to me again. For I want to hear your voice so gladly, my child, my dear child. Beloved, you have heard what free grace contends, but now we have to finish, and the next time we will continue to think about the prayer of Jonah and also in the life of grace, if the Lord willing. And God bless his ministry of the word to our souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. And let us conclude this worship service by singing Psalm 89, the stanzas 11 and 12. Psalm 89, the stanzas 11 and 12.
My bones shall.
Thank the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word, and we ask thee for an application of salvation, especially for those who are in bondage under the law. But also after receiving grace, we need grace after grace, because in the life of grace we remain totally dependent on thee, O Lord. And we have heard thy word so many times, but let it be fruitful in Christ to thy honor. O Lord, thou art reconciled by thy Son, and thou hast the complete salvation for a complete lost sinner. And O Lord, let us be a subject of thy mercy and sovereign grace. Bring us at the right place before thee, to accept what we are, to accept our condemnation, to accept thy judgment, to justify thee in all thy doings. O Lord, it is so easy to say these things, but let it come true in Christ by true faith alone. And be with us in the coming week, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from sin, not to be converted in the first place, but to proclaim thy honor as a witness of Christ. And thou art so worthy to be honored by all thy creatures, O Lord. And let it be no mouth confession, but a confession by heart, through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Savior, and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.